Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to all of our friends and partners in Blog Talk Radio and around the world. Let me get myself adjusted here. Whoops, come on. We welcome you, 53 nations. My. How did we find all y'all? And then we have to say, we didn't find all y'all.
53 nations.
All y'all found us. But we're glad. Thank you for being here with us and being a part of what God's doing in this day, being a part of this great community of faith. And before the program gets started, we always are on Zoom setting everything up. And Sister Elisa came and gave us a great testimony about being able to move into a new house completely paid off, not new, into another house completely paid off, and being blessed by that. Look at the blessing of God. And then Sister Sunday, those of you on the worship thread and the family thread, showing us the video of her grandson being baptized.
Wow.
And, you know, every bit of it is an answer to prayer that I have been praying personally. Sister Leanne and I prayed every day. But since the other day when Brother Dutch on Giving 15 started teaching on dreams, oh my goodness, have the dreams begun to come in from everywhere. And people are beginning to have this happen. Now, remember, you can't take every dream and make it spiritual. Because you just, it can just be you added all the parts of yesterday and put it into one dream and wake up going, what in the world was that? However, I'm believing that every one of you will see it. Now, I'm going to teach about this because today's title is Walking with God and Dreams and Visions Like Paul. And God gave me an interesting thought today. A vision is what brought Paul into the church. And a vision is what caused Paul to start the church in Macedonia. Now, some people say it's just a dream. Well, Holy Spirit, you know, the third part of God, Holy Spirit, said on the day of Pentecost, your young men will dream dreams and your old men will see visions. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I'm going to do this. I will pour out my spirit. So I'm not remembering that statement that Lou Engle made that time. What was it? That dreams are the words of the are the leadership of the Holy. I messed it up. I'll find it and I'll bring it to you. But he made this statement. Why would you waste a third of your life in sleeping without saying, God, speak to me while I'm asleep?
Amen.
And what a testimony. Now, so I'm going to go back to this because it's such a testimony. We've been praying for Dane ever since Sunday became a part of this. But all of a sudden we start praying about dreams. Well, how do you know what he dreamed? You don't, and I don't. And he may not. But God put inside of me to move into that house. Wanted to get out on his own. And guess what? He's out on his own. But he's not only out on his own. He's in a church, born again, and baptized right in front of us all this evening.
Glory
be to God. You know, it is so amazing when we just go ahead and let God be God and be as big as he wants to be.
Amen.
As big as he wants to be. So, welcome everybody. It is Sunday morning and 30 October 2022 here in North America. Now, all y'all around the world, you're already in the next day, so that's like Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, that's us. Or today, that's us. Yes, or anyways.
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you got it. Everybody call Sister Leanne this afternoon and say, can you please explain what he was trying to say? She's got it. God bless you all. Please, for the next 2 days, pray in the Holy Spirit and speak over your community and bind the devil and loose the angels of God to bring protection to these 2 next days. There's so much wickedness going to happen because the political people in authority, you can't call them leaders because they're not leaders. They don't know nothing about leading. But the political people sitting in offices that usually lead have removed all restraints of wickedness. So the next 2 days, without the prayers of the church, will be just absolute horror. And you'll see the most horrible news reports without our prayers. So you and I have been praying, and we're going to keep right on praying.
Amen.
We bind you evil. We're the restraining force. We speak life, life more abundantly. Angels of the Lord, surround and protect everybody I know. Surround and protect my community. I am living in my community. So therefore, I am changing my community. And we don't let this perversion and wickedness happen. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Even the other night when we got egged right out here, threw egg up against our, right up close to the window. So. They may have been trying to hit it. Who knows?
But the only one still awake.
If they did, if they were trying to hit it, then they were a bad shot. Can't even throw an egg good. Anyways, thank God for his wonderful blessings in our life, and we welcome you. Now, let's get right into the word, because this is going to be a good word today. Well, every word we preach is good because we let the Holy Spirit talk. If you haven't heard this week's messages, let me encourage you. Last night, Friday and Saturday night, we talked about speaking in tongues again. And God took me into a whole different set of verses in a different direction, saying the same thing we've said in times past. But it was very, very good. As he led us through how he said it. So I encourage you, if the prayer language of the Spirit is not flowing freely from you, then go get our two programs on YouTube called EYF, Establishing Your Faith, and study those two about praying in the Spirit. Now, if you haven't been hearing our morning program, I know this is like an extra hour and a half, but I'm telling you what. For the last 5 days, or all last week, actually, God was speaking to us about dreams. Brother Dutch was saying it in his 15-minute program. And then God just rolled back the veil about the fact that you and I are his very garment that he wears to go out into this world and reach people. So, I encourage you, take the time. Brother Dutch's program is 15 minutes, and then ours is right after that. You know the confession we always make, so if you're short on time, then go in to the video, just slide a little red dot till you see Dutch show up, listen to him. There's ways of trimming this down, what we do here, and making it possible for you to see it and hear it, because God is truly moving in our life. And right here this morning, testimony from Elisa and a testimony from Sunday. What an amazing thing that God is doing. You ready? Let's do this. Hold on just a second. Better grab my notebook. Don't ever start without your notebook. See, I tell you guys to bring your notebook. I got mine. Let's open our Bibles. Oh, my technology. Somebody's got my whole desk out of order here. Who did that? There we go. Grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Acts. No, let's not go to Acts 9. Let's go to Job 33, the book of Job. We've been studying Job a lot this year since we read it in Read the Word. And all of a sudden, we've come to the understanding, wow, there's a lot more to Job than everything was gone and he was on an ash heap scraping the sores. Well, the first thing that really hit me this year was we went through that is that period of time only lasted for about 14 to 20 days in Job's life of 140 years. That's 14 days of 140 years. Don't make your life Job's problem. And there's so many people in the church that the spirit of religion has caused them to say, well, be like Job, just suffer for Jesus. No, Jesus suffered once for all,
Amen.
So we don't have to suffer. Glory be to God. So, Job 33, 14 to 18. Job 33, 14 to 18, once you get there, hold your finger in there and let's make our confession. If you're looking for a good Bible, there it is. Thompson Chain Reference Bible. There's not a bunch of commentary, just a bunch of excellent Bible study tools that's on every single page to help you study what it is we're going to be talking about. Ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
And the living Word.
And the living Word.
I receive this Word.
I receive this Word.
Plant it as a seed.
And plant it as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, have your way here today. This word. Unhindered. Unchecked by any outside source. Job 33, 14. For God may speak in one way or another, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or just your good friend. And man does not perceive it. God speaking, you hear the preacher, you can see it makes sense to him. It's making sense to some people sitting around you. You can see others are saying, oh, yeah. But to you, it doesn't make sense yet. It doesn't mean you're stupid. There's a veil over something in your life that's keeping you from it. Usually childhood traumas or religious indoctrination or the principles of the world trying to overcome God. It's all the enemy. So rebuke it and tell the thief he can't have it. But when you start seeing that, realize that's what Job's talking about. Check this out. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men. If you haven't had deep sleep lately, there's your verse. Stand on it. You lay down, Father, tonight, when deep sleep falls upon me, and you begin to speak it in faith, watch God start giving you deep sleep. And you wake up totally rested.
Amen.
While slumbering on their bed, then he comes. Remember, that capital he is God, so circle it. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in them. What did God do? He got behind the veil and gave you a technicolor vision. And that vision now took you past that and you wake up like totally different. I just heard a testimony last night. It was amazing. We're studying the message. We're making applesauce. Studying the message. And this child, I think he was 2 or 3, had been so brutally abused, his head was misshapen. He couldn't communicate to any adult. He couldn't. He just was to himself. I think the story is that he was in a foster home with a family. They were going to adopt him or something. And he came to church, and the pastor from the pulpit said, I see that God's healing these kind of people by a word of knowledge. And some people around the child laid hands on him, prayed for him. No visible sign of a miracle. And he went home that night, and he woke up in the morning. He'd never spoken. He didn't talk. And he woke up the next morning, walked into his mama's bed and said, hey, Mama, I'm healed. I had a dream. Look at me. And in the night, he had a dream. God healed him, and the little boy was healed. And the preacher said his head and his face was perfect, everything about him, and he was healed. He became an amazing, active, beautiful young man. Now, and it happened in a dream. Really, Pastor? Solomon is having a dream, and God shows up and says, hey, Solomon, and what do you want from me? And Solomon says, I am a child, and I got to lead these people. There's anointing on this. I need wisdom to lead your people. Now listen. This is in a dream at night while he's sleeping. And God says, since you didn't ask for money or the neck of your enemies, I will give you wisdom to lead my people like no one before you, and wealth like no other king has had, and you will have peace with all your enemies. In a dream. And when Solomon woke up from that dream, he had all the wisdom that he needed to lead God's people.
And more wisdom than any man on the earth.
And more wisdom than any man on the earth. Now watch. Pastor, that's really how God moves? Yeah. Which one of your kids is having the most trouble? Speak it over him every night. When you lay down and you're almost asleep, Father, give them a dream, a vision of who they are. Not what MTV wants or CMT or any other T. Give them a vision of who you made them when you wrote their name in the book. And watch God begin to happen. Ask them, have you had a dream lately? Tell me your dreams. Tell your children, anytime you dream, come tell me about it. I want to hear it. Why? Because you and I are standing in the gap making up the hedge, and things are going to be transformed in their lives. You know, this is not in my notes. Not like that's too unusual here. But let's try this. Let me see if I can just dig it up. It's in the book of Exodus. Yeah, I did, just like that. Exodus 35. Jeez.
I It's just me. Don't be alarmed.
Thought the computer was slipping over. Exodus 35:30-35. Let me paint this picture, because this isn't even my actual notes, but I can see the Holy Spirit leading me here. Moses has been called out by God to go up to the top of the mountain. Moses takes Joshua with him. Joshua is his servant. You get to be a servant of the great man of God, go with him everywhere you're going to go. Now, here's the challenge. Moses is getting ready to fast 40 days on the top of a mountain. He didn't do, I'm not going to watch TV fast. He did it all. But during that fast, God filled him with wisdom and understanding and gave him the Ten Commandments and gave him all the details about the tabernacle and the laws that Israel needed to have to function as a new nation in 40 days. So I don't know what day this is of 40. And there's no record anywhere in the Bible I can see of what God was saying to Joshua while he was up on the mountain fasting 40 days. But both Joshua and Moses did amazing feats leading God's people. Neither of them trained to be national leaders. And yet that 40-day fast established them in the things of God. Now watch. 35:30. Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." And look at what this says. Look at that capital He. "And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship." He didn't go to school for it. God filled Aholiab and Bezaleel with the knowledge they needed to be the gold foundry for everything God was going to do in the temple. It was all covered by gold. And God made sure when they left Egypt, they plundered Egypt of all their gold, stripped them of it, and took it with them. 32, to design artistic works. Are you a designer? God wants to give you the wisdom and set you high above the nations of the earth. To work in gold, silver, bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he, look at there, there's the he. "And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him." God put in his heart the ability to teach. God did it. There's nothing wrong with being educated. The more educated you become, the more God has a vein to flow through. The more you understand about life, the more education you receive, the more you're going to understand. But don't limit God to what you got in your last degree.
Amen.
Amen? And every day say, "Father, my job, I'm having trouble getting the grasp of what I got to do here. Educate me in my sleep tonight. I receive it from you." And this isn't New Testament that I'm reading here. This is Old Testament. And yet God did this to them in the night while they slept. Look at verse 35. "He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver, the designer, the tapestry maker, in blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work, and those who design artistic works." Now, let me give you one more piece of this. That means when they left Egypt, they carried the gold and silver foundry with them. They carried all of these needles that you were going to have to do to make the tapestry.
Yeah.
They carried the, we call it, we don't talk about much anymore, but the weaving loom.
Weaver's loom, yeah.
Yeah, loom. They carried that with them. So wait a minute. It's not just a meager little band of people going across the desert like you see in Charles, in Moses, in the movie Moses. What's the guy's name?
Charles Heston.
Charles Heston, yeah. And it's not that. These guys plundered Egypt. There's 3 to 6 million people moving across the desert with everything that Egypt has in one night. How big is God? Don't limit him. Now watch. Where am I at, Jesus? What was the next verse you gave me? Proverbs. Help me find that verse in Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Dutch has been teaching it all week. You'd think I'd know. 18. Please help me. That was not a command. That was a request. She'll find it. Now, while she's finding that, I'm going to go to Acts chapter 9. Now, these are my verses.
This is Proverbs 29:18.
Proverbs 29:18. While you're turning over there, I'm just going to talk about this. Where there is no vision, people perish. Another definition of it, I mean, Brother Dutch taught this week. People cast off restraint. They won't think about the consequences of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether people believe it or not. Every person on the face of the earth is going to be judged by this book. Now, whether or not you have chosen to be judged by it, every person on the face of this earth is going to be judged by this book. And the most amazing father of the whole world said, and I'm going to give it to you, and there's going to be thousands of men and women who are going to die to get it to you because the enemy's going to oppose it. But I'm going to get it and put it in your hand so that you know exactly how you'll be judged. If you know you're going to be judged for it, guess what? Don't do it. And then when you stand on the other side, he's going to look at you and say, well done, good, faithful servant. And you've been faithful over little, be ruler over much. Where there is no vision, people perish. So we've got to see where we're going. God's going to connect us to a group of people. We've got to get involved with that group of people and say, let's make this vision come to pass. That's not just a prayer that I should pray. That's a prayer that every one of us should be praying. God, bring this vision to pass today in my life and in the life of all of those who are part of this. If you have a loved one, Jesus, give them a dream, a vision, so that they can see past the veil that is surrounding them and go straight into the things of God. Now, Acts chapter 9. The church is just starting. Holy Spirit's been poured out. Peter's not yet had the vision like we read last night at the end of the program. Gone with Cornelius and said it's on the Gentiles and everything. Paul, obviously, Saul of Tarsus, obviously had somebody praying for him, like the whole Christian world. Somebody was saying, save him, Lord. And Saul of Tarsus didn't have a vision. He had Jesus himself show up. And I believe Jesus stood there like right in his road, and Paul hit him. And when you hit the anointing, you're going to go down. And while he's on the grounds, he said the right words. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Those were Jesus' words. And that tells you something. Saul of Tarsus was killing the people in the church. But the church is Jesus. Jesus didn't show up and say, why are you persecuting my church? Jesus showed up and said, why are you persecuting me? He's the head. And we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
And Saul said the right words. I think he'd have killed him. It would have been the end. He would have, his heart would have died right there on that ground. Because it wasn't going to go on anymore. The anointing destroys the yoke. Jesus is the anointing, and there was going to be no more Christians being killed. How far have we messed up this abortion thing in the world, in the Christian church?
Oh, my.
And now they want to pass a law that says you can sterilize your child. A child can be sterilized of their own choice without you, the mom and dad, knowing. That's what those bills are in Michigan.
Yeah.
Removing of your parental rights from you. It is no on 1, 2, and 3, A, B, and C. Has to be, because they're stripping your parental rights from you. Anyways, so Saul said, Lord. Now he's all right. God's like, right answer. Get up, go into the city, and get to this house. They'll accept you, and I'm going to show you what to do. Well, he's got scales over his eyes, so he's got to get there. We're picking this up now in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And this is clear down through 22. Acts 9, 10 through 22. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Everybody say, disciple.
Disciple.
Not one of the prophets. Not one of the great apostles. A disciple. And when was the disciple operating? Now. This disciple was on point. Named Ananias, and to him the Lord said, in a vision. This is not Ananias sitting down with his paper saying, I wonder what I should go do today. No, in a vision. He said, Ananias. He said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, two of them, in a vision, at the same time, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him, so that he might receive his sight. Ananias is having the vision to go. Paul's having the vision. He's coming. So if God gives you one of these, know that God has already spoken to that person before you ever open your mouth to speak to them. Right? 13. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And let me remind you, I did say at the beginning of this, he had a vision too. Right? See verse 12? God said, and in a vision. What you and I have to learn to do is hear the right words while Jesus is talking to us. Because then you're not concerned about the rest of it. Now, I'm pretty sure this is not the first time God has spoken to Ananias in a vision. He gave some very detailed instructions of what to do and how to do it. And Ananias knew what and how to do. So don't try to be a hero every day of your life, and every action you make be heroic in faith. That actually leads to a form of pride. Take the next step that God has given you. If it becomes heroic, well, glory be to God. But don't set out in your day to say, today I'm going to be a hero. Just start out by saying, I'm going to take this next step. If it's heroic, it's heroic. The man, I'm forgetting his name, Audie something, who's the most decorated American soldier of all time. Every time, three Medal of Honors. I mean, this guy's amazing. He's a black man. It's cool. I like that. But in none of those situations did he wake up that morning and say, I'm going to do it today. This is my day to be here. We just got out there and whoa, everything went to pieces. And then in the middle of it all, just kept going and going and literally became one of the greatest heroes that America ever has had. Why? Because he took the next step and obeyed faithfully. Our answer is to keep hearing the voice of God and then learn to start stepping out on it. You might look and say, I have failed because it didn't quite turn out like you thought it was going to be when he spoke to you the first time. However, remember, you don't fail because you're learning. Do you call your kids a failure when they're starting to walk and they fall down? No, you don't do that.
No.
You just pick them up. Come on, stand back up. What are they doing? They're just building their muscles. And our Father's not going to call you a failure. I mean, your mom and dad themselves may have called you a failure, but your Father will never call you a failure while you're learning to stand up and walk.
Amen.
He's not going to do it.
Amen.
He's the one that gave you the vision, the dream, the thought, the inner revelation of what to do. I remember when I first started hearing the voice of God saying, buy that guy something, whatever, you know, just however it is, buy that guy some gas. And I missed a couple because I'm like, how do you do that? You just walk up to him and say, let me buy your gas. And it felt, you know, it was weird. It felt strange to, you know, at first. And yet on the inside, you know, like, no, I can tell that was God telling me to do that. And wow, look at that. I did that for them. And the next day we found apples. I'm going to do something today because I want squash.
Oh my goodness.
We bought a new freezer. That's
Yay.
The cool thing that happened. We bought a freezer. We're like, woo, we got room. So, but I remember in that process of learning that, the first time I said to somebody, let me buy your gas, and their eyes got that big. What? Why would you do that? Well, I'm a man of God. And God told me, He wants you to know He loves you. Their eyes filled with tears. And some of the biggest, toughest men, I'm like, I'm going to buy it. Standing in line at a convenience store, I'm going to buy this stuff. You're going to do what? I want to buy your stuff. I turn and look at them. They're just standing there with their eyes squinted and muscles bulging like, get on. And I've said to a couple of them, ain't nobody ever done something good for you? And the answer is no. Nobody's ever done anything good for him. One big man said to me, he's got tears in his eyes. He said, nobody's ever done anything like this for me in my whole life. What did I do that day when I bought that for that man? I was the answer to somebody's prayer saying, I want my son in the kingdom. And what was my way of getting into the kingdom? I bought his chips and pop. I mean, I bought people cigarettes and chewing tobacco. I don't agree with that, but I'm in line and God said, buy that person behind you stuff. What you learn is just to do it. And so I would say to the lady behind the counter, hey, I'm going to buy that guy's stuff. Turn around, I'm like, hey, dude, put your stuff up here. I'm going to buy it for you today. What? Well, then the world caught on and began to say, pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one day at the coffee shop in West Branch there where Saber's Coffee Shop is. I pull up. I get my money, getting ready to hand it to Saber. And she's like, no. The person in front of you just bought your coffee. I said, well, I'm going to buy the person behind me then. She said, Pastor, the first person here today bought the guys behind him's coffee, and every single person has bought the coffee behind him. I'm like, are you kidding me? She said, no, I got the most giving people in the whole world as customers. She said, this thing's been going. It was like 4.5 hours she'd been open. She's like, this thing's been going for like 4.5 hours.
Love it.
But see, what happens is that breaks that crusty exterior. How? You bought their chips. And they go home saying, do you know what happened to me today? No, I don't know. The guy in front of me bought my stuff at the convenience store. I got to tell my story again. I didn't see in a dream or a vision. I pull up on my Harley, and I'm at Checker Flag getting ready to go in and eat in the restaurant in there. And I parked alongside the building like I do. Car pulls in. It's a young black lady, which is a very white community. And I said, go buy her fuel. Well, I got to get my helmet off and my gloves off and put the kick. Make sure you always put the kickstand down or you got a mess. And she gets in the building and then comes back out. And she had gone in and paid for it before I could even get to her. I said, young lady, I'm supposed to buy your fuel. She just looked at me. There's an edge there. And I said, did you already pay for it? She said, yeah, I did. I said, well, I just pulled in there. And when I saw you pull in, God told me to buy your fuel. And she starts to cry. So I went in and paid the $3 extra to get it out of the ATM. And I brought it out to her. And I said, I don't know what's going on, but God wants you to know he loves you. And she grabbed me and hugged me. She said, thank you. I needed to know today that God is hearing my prayers. Don't you love it when he uses you?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't even think I could afford to pay. It was $33. I don't think I could afford to give $33 in. But it's because you do that that it opens up this whole other thing. And where does it come? It comes on the inside of you. Not through these ears. It comes in here. I need to do that. And just move on it. You might fumble it up a few times. You might. And yesterday I was at a convenience store. I filled my truck up. Big old mean. Obviously a man that just got out of prison. If you're not around a bunch of those, you don't know what they look like. Up here, there's a whole bunch of men that's just got out of prison up here, and they all have the same look. So that's one of them. Big guy, probably 6'6", probably 300 pounds of some serious muscle. Big guy. And he's walking around the store, and I'm here to buy stuff. But I keep trying to put myself in front of him. But the crazy guy kept walking around. I'm like, quit your walking around and get over here, you know. But he never did. He kept wandering around. I bought my stuff and I left. But what is it? I'll pray for that man from now on. Why? God said for me to do that. In a dream, in a vision of the night, Lord. If you start saying stuff and your words don't flow just right, it's all right. Most of all, tell them God loves you.
Yes.
And he wanted me to tell you that today. Can I pray for you? Just ask him. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this person with you and your mighty answers. Amen. Don't say a long prayer. Make it simple. Because when you say God bless them, then he shows up. Am I going to make it? Is it time to circle the wagon yet? Matter of fact, everybody do this right now. Pray this with me. Father.
Father.
Every person I was supposed to minister to.
Every person I was supposed to minister to.
And I missed it.
And I missed it.
And I didn't want to.
And I didn't want to.
Give them a dream from you
Give them a dream from you.
I stand in the gap and make up the hedge.
I stand in the gap and make up the hedge.
For that person today.
That person today.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Wow, 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 wow. Well, we got to get back to the word because I'm telling a bunch of stories, but I got to get the whole story painted in. I'm in Acts 9:13. Ananias and said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. He knocks on the door. Hi. We don't know if Ananias knew the guy, where he was going. But he said, is your name Judas? Yes, it is. My name's Ananias. I had a vision. There's a man here named Saul. Ananias is probably, or Judas is probably like, so Judas brings him in. Come on, we got to think the Bible through here. Judas brings him into the room where Saul of Tarsus is and says, Brother Saul, there's a man here named Ananias. And Saul says, I just saw him in a vision. Think about the excitement that filled Saul when Ananias walked in the room and God had given him a vision. Saul's blind. He has no idea how long he's going to be blind. He's in a place he's never been before in his life, and he's glad to be alive, and he's been born again, and his life has been renewed, and he's like, my God, how am I doing it? He's fasting and praying, and Judas walks in and says, there's a man here, Brother Saul, whose name is Ananias. You got to know, Saul was like, wow, I just saw this in a vision. Well, now Ananias is excited, and here's Brother Judas, who he don't have no part of this except the house. And Judas is standing there like he had a vision, and he had a vision. Whoa, I'm in the middle of a vision. Let's see what God's going to do. And what? Look at what God did. Immediately, there fell from his heart, eyes, something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. He didn't just give the vision. He's like, we're getting you born again. We're getting you filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are getting baptized right now. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Now, Paul wasn't an ignorant man in any sense of the word.
In any sense.
Paul could quote the Pentateuch from the beginning to the end. All five books of the law. So he wasn't ignorant. He had a doctorate of doctorate degrees in Hebrewism. And so in 3 days, God showed up in a vision, a disciple to Saul of Tarsus in the house of Judas, and said, I'm going to radically change you. And Paul's heart as a new creation went from, I'm going to kill everybody that believes this, to, listen, straight into the synagogue that he was a part of and refuted them that Jesus was the Christ. He went from there to there, 180 degree change. Well, verse 21, then all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this he who destroyed those that called on the name in Jerusalem? And he come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews, who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus was the Christ. You're not going to get anywhere till you get verse 23 happening in your life. You ready? After many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. The spirit of religion is always going to say, we got to kill this. In the day we live, they don't kill people too much in America. In the foreign nations, they will, but not here. But here, they kill your character. They go online, they smudge you, they smear you. They try to destroy your character. It's called character assassination. Don't be a part of those people at all. It doesn't matter. The brethren came to Saul and said, Saul, they're going to kill you. One of the guys lived on the wall of the city, and in the middle of the night when nobody's watching, put him in a big basket with some ropes and let him down over the edge, and on he went. Now, let's go quickly. Goodness sakes alive. To verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Now, all through this book of Acts, dreams and visions are coming to people. Now, watch. 16:1. Acts 16, 1 through 15. Now, watch this. I got to keep reading because I'm running low on moments here. Chris Rich, it's good to see you, man. Bless you. We love you. So awesome to see Dave being baptized.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Here we go. He came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him. He took him and circumcised him. Bad move. Because of the Jews. Don't do anything religious because of anybody. Do what's right. Who were in the region. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. That's what the church is supposed to be doing to each other, is increasing in strength and increasing in numbers. Hey, good morning, board. We love you. Verse 6. Now, somehow God talked to Paul to go up through Asia, Turkey. When they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now, if you've never been on one of these mission trips like this, you don't know the frustration that's on the inside of Paul and the team. They have just walked from Jerusalem to Troas on their feet, 500 miles. I tracked it once. They just walked 500 miles, and God said, no, 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 and no. But every time God said no, there was believers there that at least fed him, you know, because they got to Troas. I'll bet you bottom dollar, as the old boys would say, every one of them is like, all right, Father, give one of us a dream so we know what's going on here. Something's got to happen because this doesn't make sense. And listen. And every one of those places where they were trying to go, there would be an exploding church at some point. Look at verse 9. And in a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of the Macedonian colony, and we were staying in the city for some days. Philippi became the center of the church that would reach all of Europe. Now, I want you to see this. In a supernatural act, God stopped Saul of Tarsus and turned him into Paul the Apostle. In a supernatural act of a vision, at the same time, God spoke to Ananias and Saul of Tarsus, I'm going to bring you two together. In a vision for Cornelius, chapter 10, we read it last night. And Peter, in a trance, at the same time, Peter's given the word. Cornelius is given the assignment, go get this man. And God is working things that's beyond the human ability to do. We limit God so much when we put it inside of our human ability to do. When you're at a point where you're like, I'm stuck, don't ever say those words. If you say it, stop. No, I ain't stuck. I got the Holy Spirit to lead me. Yeah. What you do is just stop right there and say, I need a dream. I need a vision. I need a revelation. I want you. This is what I've been teaching in the last two nights, and every time I've ever taught it, about the prayer language of the Spirit. The prayer language of the Spirit helps you get out of your brain and go into the Spirit of God and your spirit man, who you are. My spirit man is named Samuel. This is the spirit man, spirit woman, Leanne. All right? You, the Spirit, speak directly to God. No interference. Zero. And that's the value of it. Well, Pastor, I don't have that. How do I get it? Just begin to say, first of all, say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You're here. You're born again. Say it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Rivers of living water flow out of me.
That the rivers of living water flow out of me.
I receive my heavenly prayer line.
I receive my heavenly prayer line.
So I can communicate fully with God.
So I can communicate fully with God.
See, when you go there, now all of a sudden you're way past the human. It don't make sense to your brain, but all of a sudden on the inside of your spirit, you'll begin to get a knowing and follow that. Remember, God's not asking you to be a hero every day. He's asking you to take the next step. If the next step is heroic, glory be to God. But any one of us that set out to be a hero, that's pride. Don't do that. Don't look for God to give you an answer that just wipes out all civilization with this big explosion like, wow, can you believe what that man got? Yeah, no, he got the next step. And when he stepped there, then he wiped out every enemy that was there because he was just taking the next step. God is some of you are going to be like, this might make you angry. But since the beginning of God, dreams and visions have led everybody. And the spirit of religion said, it's probably a pizza dream, so it's just a dream. And the church has discounted dreams and visions when it is very obvious right in front of our eyes, God has used dreams and visions all through the Word of God.
Yeah.
Let me just do a real quick search on that. I searched it the other day, but I don't remember what it says. In a vision. 19 times that statement is used throughout the Bible. In a vision. No, no. 19 verses, 73 times throughout the Bible. All right, that's the word, in a vision. Now, that's not plural, all right? Get this. In a dream is found 77 times. 150 times, God is saying in a dream, in a vision, in the Bible, he is leading us. You and I got to say, I take all barriers off you, Father. I will refuse to limit you in my life in any way. So this is the message for today. Paul was birthed into the kingdom by a vision from Ananias and to himself. By a vision, Paul went obediently and birthed the whole church of Europe, which is why you and I are believers in Russia. Because the gospel went to Europe first instead of up to Russia. And that's why, even though there's been a few good Russian leaders, that's why Europe has always been more open to the gospel. And you and I are European, most of us, by nature, by ancestry. You might say, Pastor, do you really think he can do it? Yeah, but this is what you got to do. Here's your steps. Number one, study these verses. Go to your commentary. Go to your Bible app. Well, here, I'll just show you. I might as well just do it. That way you can see. I'm going to share my screen. Watch your device. This is the eSword app that you can get on Android or on Apple, that you can get on Windows or Apple. So go to your store and look it up. Now let's do this. There. Now, what you can see in front of me is what it looks like. It might cost you $2 or $3, maybe $5 for some of these. I'm not sure which one of the platforms it costs money to get eSword, but it's not all of them. But I don't think it costs Sister Sunday or Donna. Okay. But I know somebody said they paid for something, and they may have paid for a higher model of it, but it was only like $5.
Oh.
Okay. Right? So what I'm getting ready to show you, any of you can have on your phone or on any device. So if you look right here, you'll see the blue word Bible. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm in the Bible, and I'm in the search panel. See over here, the blue word search? All right. So all I did was type in here, in a dream, and I just hit it. And so as soon as you hit enter, then that gives you your search. And what you're going to find is every time in a dream shows up, highlighted. Those are all the books of the Bible where it's at. Any of you can do this. All right? Any of you. Now, let me show you this just for the sake of it. This word Bible up here, see how it's blue now? All right? I'm doing this now so that I can show you how to change the translation. So I use the New King James, and when I clicked on that line, you can see that's the one I'm using. Let's just do something just for the sake of doing it, and let's go to the King James Version. Go to the KJV. So now you can see it says KJV underneath the Bible. I'm in the Bible. I'm going back to search again, and let's see if there's a difference between the King James and the New King James. And there is.
A little bit,
yep. 84 matches. All right. So you can see that the way the one translated it and the way the other did was not the same. Whoops. In a vision. So I'm going to change the wording. 82 matches here. I want to change it one more time because I want to look in the Amplified Classic. So I'm going to click on the KJV word right here. And I'm going to go up here till I find the Amplified Classic. Now, this is one of the masterpieces in translation. And so I had to pay for this one. This one cost you $20, but it's well worth it. So now I'm in the Amplified Translation. I'm going to go back here to search. I'm going to click in there in a vision.
Wow.
118 times. Now, the reason I came to the Amplified is the Amplified puts in almost all the translations it could be. So naturally, they're going to take the word vision and tell you every time it's in the Old Testament and New Testament, not just when it's in a vision. All right? So what I'm showing you right now, any of you could do this. You just got to get the app. Now, the word vision is used 94 times in the Amplified. Now, the reason I'm taking the time to show you this is every one of us have the ability within our hands, with apps that we have, to truly understand who God is. I haven't made a video yet. Maybe it's today that I'll make a video that I can do this right here. Go through this slowly. Put it up on YouTube where everybody can find it. And begin to study using the eSword app, because it'll be a blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, when I'm preaching and teaching every day, you can just say, oh, I know how to do that. And when I get done with this program, I'm going to go do this myself. And it'll be a blessing to you and to your family in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's circle the wagons here.
Question, Bart.
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, we've been studying that.
We've been studying that. 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night, we dealt with that. And no man knows the day or the hour. This is the key point, and I can say this real quickly because the answer is easy. Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. There's three chapters there. The dry bones, Israel coming alive, Gog and Magog coming down. Is that?
Just so everybody on Zoom knows, because we know you can't see the YouTube screen from there, Board has asked about the rapture. When will the rapture happen? I know no one will know the day or the hour. How soon is it? So that's what Pastor is dealing with right now, because I know you guys can't see that question.
Thank you. Thank you. The answer is in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. Read it out loud to yourself, and here's what happens. When Russia comes out of Russia down to Israel to take over Israel so they get their vast wealth of oil, gas, and food. Israel produces more food per acre than anywhere in the whole world. And their produce is sought by some really great wicked people. So why are we saying that the time is soon? Because Russia is in Turkey, Syria, and Iran. Israel is surrounded on the north by Russian influence. So you got to, if you watch the news, you don't watch the news. Go to Amir Sarfati on Telegram. Amir, AmirSarfati. Amir Sarfati on Telegram. And he's going to give you real news, born again, spirit-filled, mighty man of God who lives in Galilee. Many times he'll record a video and you'll see the hills where Russia is going to come and take over. You'll see those hills. He puts the video up on purpose so you can see it.
And every other prophecy that needed to take place right. has been fulfilled.
It's all done.
It can be any time.
It can literally happen any moment.
Yeah.
That is not a preacher exaggeration. Dr. Sutton's been telling us all the events and everything that was absolutely important. Every great prophet, every great preacher who has studied this, like there's nothing left but Russia coming out of the north and beginning to come down. God said, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw, Gog, and I'm going to pull you down here. And I'm going to destroy you for your wickedness. Here's how it works. That will be the day of the rapture. Why? Because God's going to wipe out Russia in 1 hour. So before the wrath, because God doesn't pour his wrath out on his children,
right,
we'll be raptured so that all the believers in Russia will be raptured and God will wipe them out. I said 1 hour. Maybe it's 1 day. I'll have to go read it again. And that's the day of the rapture. Mm-hmm. So that can happen. I mean, if you're watching real news, that Russia is ballistic right now.
Yeah.
And Iran is using their, like an F-16 drone, bombing all over the Ukraine.
Yeah.
So it's there. And it's like, you ever get ready for a wedding, the people that you love, and you know it's going to be a wonderful day and a wonderful time, and you know you're going to see a bunch of people, you know. And as you're getting ready, your heart starts getting excited. You know you're going to see everybody. That is literally how you should feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to be raptured out of here, and I'm going to go see all the folk. God, in Jesus' name, help me reach every person around me. You may not be able to physically reach every person within your grasp right now, your family, friends, but you start praying every day and you get serious about this. Give them a dream and a vision in the night. And the verses in Job say, and God causes them to hear in that dream and seals their instruction in their heart. You may not see the visible evidence of them coming to God. In that dream and the vision, God helps them. They do it. And the outward expression of it may not happen as fast as you and I would like to see it. But you and I start standing in faith saying, "My every relative I have will be in the kingdom. And I call it done now in Jesus' mighty name." Because we've got to be ready. Go ahead.
Are all of the teachings in YouTube playlisted on the rapture and the end times? Are they playlisted yet where she could go and grab that playlist?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I believe I started a playlist for that. But watch our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And we'll get that back up there. Take it, get your pen and write this name down. Hilton, H-I-L-T-O-N, just like the hotel. Hilton Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. And go to YouTube and search up his teachings. He's the man I follow. Another one, well, here, let's just do that. You can put Brother Sutton's name in there. But also this name that Sister Leanne just put in, Amir Sarfati. Amir Sarfati is a seriously excellent end times Bible teacher.
Oh, I forgot that.
T-S-R, Sarfati. T-S-A-R. And he's on Telegram, and he's also on YouTube. So both of those men are good places to study. I don't know that I have ours organized. Our computer lady's with us today, Sister Lisa, and I've really got a plan here, Lisa, that I'm going to have to get with you one of these days and say, how do we make all this work? Because I've got playlist for Read the Word and the 1 hour of faith today for the question and answer for establishing your faith. I got a playlist for each of those, and I would like them on the website, so that people can just go there to the website, click that, and then go right to the playlist. And I'm sure now that I said it, you know, you'll have it done in 5 minutes. And I go look at the website and like, duh. But thank God, God gave you wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
She just as soon I stay out of there.
Yeah, and she probably feels the same way about me. Pastor, leave it alone. Just let me do it. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. What a wonderful time we've had together today. Oh, what heaven's going to be like. And Jesus, we want to enjoy it like this on earth.
Amen.
You know, I've asked you that we could all be together somewhere. Have a weekend. Where we just enjoy each other's presence bathe ourselves in God's holy word, and build the fabric of what you've designed right here called the community of faith. Oh, Jesus, we love you for it. Thank you. Thank you. We got to see Sunday and Chris and or Dane. Well, that whole family, bless the baptism, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in Robin and Lisa's life. We give you glory, Lord. May every detail of it come together. May that house be a light of God's love right there in that community. And transform that place. You foul spirit of wickedness and poverty, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of that community. Bless us today. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us in dreams and visions. We give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Brother, listen to this statement. Brother Lou Engel makes a statement, and I always think I got it down, but I'm going to come back and read it right out of his statement. When you hang around the dream king, Jesus, you will get into your dream stream. God connects you to his dream team. And you do the Martin Luther King thing. When you hang around the dream king, you will get into your dream stream. God connects you to his dream team, and you do the Martin Luther King thing. There, I put it on both of our platforms here so you can see it. Time for communion. Ready? Don't you love this?
Amen.
Luke. I tell you what, I get going. I just don't even want to stop. Let's start out by singing this chorus we've started to sing.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Ready? Everybody just sing with me. Lord, prepare. Time out. Got to go a little higher.
A little higher.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be that living sanctuary for you. We love you. We desire to receive this communion with you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles were with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Fervent desire, Jesus. We desire this time of communion with you. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he said, take, eat. Where'd it go? Don't look away. 19, took the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body. I'm almost there. Which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's work, his death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, here's what it's all about. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread, just got a major revelation, and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Say this. Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
Give me amazing revelations.
Give me amazing revelations.
Just like Pastor got.
Just like Pastor got. Amen.
1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. I don't want to be judged, Pastor. You're going to be judged anyway by humans, so get used to it and be bold. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, the head of the church, so are we, the body of Christ. Perfect love, cast out fear and the torment, the fear, the trauma. Fear and trauma, you're bound. Get off the lives of all of these people. No one will ever be afraid to receive communion again. In Jesus' mighty name. If you have sinned, do not run from communion. Run to it. If you feel like you're failing and not getting it, failure is of the enemy. Bind that and run to communion. When you get to communion, what you have to do to be worthy is pray and talk to God and say, I need you. And that's what these communion elements are designed for. Don't run from him. Run to him. He's not going to meet you with a club if you meet him with the blood. Right?
Amen.
Write that down. God's not going to meet you with a club when you show up with the blood. That's why Jesus suffered. That's why Jesus suffered. It's for everyone. And now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And I want everybody to pray it for several reasons. Number one, so you're born again if you're not. Number two, so you rededicate your life if you need to. Number three, the more you pray it, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, the more it gets down inside of you. Number four, you'll memorize this, so the first time you get to lead somebody to get born again, it'll automatically flow out of you, and they'll be like, that's an amazing prayer. And you'll say, I got that from my pastor, and I'm going to look at you and say, I got that from the Holy Spirit. Ready? Pray it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting.
You
life.
Give me everlasting.
And I
life.
Will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you
now,
for it.
Here's where you make your declaration. Be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Thank you for raising from the dead for me.
Thank you for raising from the dead for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad you're here. We appreciate you being with us today. Here's what just happened. You might be saying, wow, Pastor, I am experiencing something on the inside of me that is just supernatural. Yeah, it is. Most people call it the what? Oh, hippies. That's the greatest buzz I ever had. That's what one guy said to me. Mm-hmm. But what is it? It's like hot oil. It's like running of water over you. It's God Almighty filling your being. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they lost the connection to their Father because they submitted themselves under this false lord, Satan. And God had to let them go to that false lord because that was their choice. There's no love and there's no reward without a choice. So that relationship was with God is gone, and God said, you'll die. Their bodies didn't die. Their connection to him died. They're now under the overlord, Satan, who's not one. And death covered the whole earth. Most Bible scholars believe that they lost 90% of their ability to see color. We're seeing with 10%. That's why when people come back from heaven, they say the colors are absolutely amazing. So when you're born again, you're connected back again, spirit to spirit with God Almighty. That's what just happened to you. Light of the world came to live in you. Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, he lives in you. Holy Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of you, leading you from the inside out. That's where we're at. That's how great it is. You've been adopted into the family of God and are literally an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. All of that is what we'll teach you. We'll teach you how to walk with God. Click like, hit subscribe, ring the bell. My email address is there. Anybody can use it. Seriously. Pastor, you're too busy. I am not too busy to help the people that want to know, that want help. Nah, we'll find a way. If 10,000 of you email me, we're going to get you help because that's our place in God. Now, one more statement and we'll receive the elements. How do I walk with God? Wake up every morning before you get out of bed and say, Jesus, help me walk with you today. And then all day long, talk to your Father like he's your Father because he is your Father. And you'll begin to get that inner knowing of God. You may not understand all of the doctrines, but you'll be walking with God in your spirit. And then just say, please answer Pastor's prayer for my life, because I'm praying that dreams and visions and revelations happen to every single one of us every day in Jesus' name. Let's receive our elements. Get you some grape juice and bread. I like my communion cup. Though your sins were like scarlet red, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. I love it. You ready? Bless these elements. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded
for my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And just like that, I saw Pakistan and Malaysia, Julian and Bamala, and all across the United States and around the world receiving the communion elements with us. Bless the body of Christ around the world, Jesus. Bless him in Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
We lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force.
The most powerful,
the most
cleansing,
powerful
force,
cleansing force.
On this earth.
On this earth.
On this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been,
I have
redeemed.
Been redeemed.
I have reconciliation with my Father.
I have reconciliation with my Father. Father.
Every sin is placed in remission in my life.
Every sin is placed in remission in my life.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new.
And behold, all things have become new.
Now, this is the important one. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony,
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
Don't you just love that? By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white. I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 flesh receive his blood shed.
Blood of Christ.
Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Amen.
For your blood. Ready? Let's sing it. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus,
saved
my
life,
brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Now, before I mess it up anymore, when we're done, turn on Charity Gale and listen to her sing Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. Find it on YouTube.
Beautiful
song. And she's going to do a whole lot better job than I was getting ready to do right there in any sense of the word. Now, thank you for being here. We love you. We appreciate you. Chris, Rich, it is amazing to see what God has done. Oh, my, what God has done.
So happy you were with us. And Alisa.
So good. Alisa Craig, it is so good to have you with us.
Yeah.
God bless you. Those of you that are with us on YouTube, remember, I do my best to get a timestamp in right at the beginning of the message so that the preliminaries, which you got to have them no matter what, so that the preliminaries, you don't have to go there. You can go right to that first timestamp. And if you look down in the video, in the comments, you'll see there's chapters there that I put in. And it gives you the ability to click on the highlighted word there that says, view all the chapters, and it'll put them in a list on the side of your screen, and you'll be able to go right down through them and be a blessing. If you're watching one of our videos, when you watch one of our videos and you're like, wow, look at that, hit pause, see what the time mark is there. It's right there on your little screen on YouTube where the little red dot is. Go to the comments, remember that time, back it up about 3 seconds, and then put that number in there. Make a space, and then put the revelation you got, because somebody else is going to want the same revelation you got. And then when you go back to the video the next time, you can click on that spot, and it'll bring you right back to that point. In Jesus' mighty name. Is that it? We sure do love you. Brother Roger, don't know where you are, but we missed you. Sister Phyllis, we missed you. Kathy Angaroni, we missed you.
I'm here.
Rebecca,
and
we didn't
so
miss you.
Happy you are with us. We're so happy.
Sally
you're
Rice and Audrey Van Gessel, all y'all are our folk. And James and Alicia, James and Felicia, we love you. Welcome. Just
bye,
board.
Board. Have a great
We're glad
day.
To have you with us.
So glad to have you with us.
Glad to have you with us.
Yeah.
Glad to have
you.
Have
a great day.
And
you have a
Sister
great
Rebecca,
day too,
thank
Rebecca.
You for all your help. Thank you for being here. And I speak dreams, visions, and revelations to every one of you and to your children every day to see who God is in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Here we go. Those of you around the world on blog, God bless you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And any way we can be a blessing, if it's in our ability, we'll do it. And if most of all, we'll start praying with you to see God do his mighty work in your house and in your community. In Jesus' name. Remember this.